I'm gonna give you all this good appetizer. I gave this appetizer out before one time. In 2011, I found this in two. I said, and the Lord said he wanted me to give this out again today.
Hey, serve it up,
amen. So I'm just gonna be obedient. Yeah. This one is talking about a good man. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all women want a good man, right?
Amen.
Amen. Well, a good man, a wise man, a godly man doesn't love a million women.
Come on.
Did y'all hear me?
Come on.
I said a good man, a wise man, and a godly man does not love a million women. You all know what he does? He loves one woman a million ways. That's what he does. That's what he does. One woman a million ways. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to think of some more ways I can love Sister Z. That's what we do. See, a good man figure out some, how can I love her more, better? There you go. Amen. See, my elders be helping me out. They help me. All right, so last week, what did we talk about? Last week was the graduation week, right? I had to leave a little bit early, and I gave y'all some appetizers about man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. That's what it was, right? And I talked about how man's wisdom, I gave some things like no prayer in school. That's man's wisdom.
Right.
Amen. We're going to take the prayer out of the school. Or no physical discipline of your own child. What does the Bible say about that? It says, the Bible says foolishness is born in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far, far away. And they're saying, hey, you can't do that. No. No, not these days. No, you're going to jail if you do that. Huh? Man got some wisdom, don't they? Be something else. Mm-hmm. And here's one of the big ones. Man can marry man and woman can marry woman. That's man's wisdom. That's foolishness to God.
Amen.
And that's just a lie directly from Satan in the pits of hell. Abomination for sure. A plot to destroy the whole human race. See, in this situation, we cannot reproduce. It's unnatural in every way. It's queer. The Bible says to be fruitful and multiply. God's wisdom is for us to reproduce images just like him. That's what he wants us to do. That's his will for us. Amen. Satan said, no. Let me figure out what can I tell them that they can do legally where that can't happen? Because I'm tired of looking at images that look like God. So then he just says, okay, well, I know. Yeah, I just let them marry the same sex. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here's another one. Live with her versus marrying her. Man's wisdom. Huh? What did the man tell me? Why buy the cow if you can get the milk free? Amen. That's man's wisdom. God says, though, a man that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtain favor from him. Amen. He says marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. Amen. See, when you marry her, you're protecting her. Huh? Your family can't come and take all the stuff and say, you know, that's my sister. No, but that's my, you ain't say wife. It ain't, see, they can legally come and take everything from her. You have no covering over her, no protection for her. Amen. So, God, you know, he showed us the perfect example in us, you know, with himself. We are the bride of Christ. Huh? We're in right standing with God. He didn't shack with us. He married us. Amen. See, I and the Father are one. Same thing happens in the marriage. Two flesh become one. Amen. That's God's wisdom.
Yeah.
Amen. But I got one for you today. I got a question for you. Here's the question. Separation of church and state. We hear this one. Victor gonna be good at this. He love politics. Politician. He a godly man. Listen to this. This revelation right here. Y'all catch this one. He's a godly man. But he love politics. And you know what he told me one time? He said, Rudy, it's really hard for a politician to serve God. That's what he told me. But I want you all to catch this revelation today. Because it's a good one. So again, the question is, separation of church and state, is this man's wisdom or is that God's wisdom? That's the question. Separation of church and state. Huh, did that come from man or did that come from God? That's what we want to know, right? Yeah. Let me give you a quick definition. It says, the phrase separation of church and state is derived from a letter written by President Thomas Jefferson in 1802. To the Baptist from Danbury, Connecticut, and published in a Massachusetts newspaper soon thereafter. In that letter, referencing the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, Jefferson writes, believing with you, that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God, that he owes account to none other for his faith or his worship, that the legitimate powers of government reach actions only, and not opinions. I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state. So that's how that came about. Amen. So listen to this. If there is a separation that man can make, that means man can make a law like they made, right? They can say man can marry man and woman can marry women because the Bible has no input. See, they say it's a separation. We don't have to do things based on that. Amen? So the devil is crafty, isn't he? Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, in turn, it appears to be a good idea, seeming that the government cannot make a law to restrict your worship either. Amen. Amen. So they can't make a law to say you can't do like some countries. Right. You better not worship Christ, right. You know. So it really seems like, hey, this might be God's wisdom, you know, to keep me out of y'all business. But we know that don't sound right. Question. So is this God's will or his plan or is this man's plan? Let me share this revelation with you. It says the Bible says that Satan is the ruler of this evil world, right? And Satan doesn't want God in anything concerning his kingdom. So you really got to know that one. And since this is Satan's kingdom, because y'all remember Jesus said, my kingdom is to come. My kingdom come, my will be done on just like it is in that is coming. That's not here, huh? Because if that was here, that craziness that we see going on here would not be happening. This is not his kingdom right now. Amen. So for right now, Satan doesn't want God in anything concerning it. His world. This is his world. This is his system. So, of course, he doesn't want God in government. So he makes a separation of church and state, right? He don't want God in schools, right? So he take the Bible, snatch it. I don't want God in my business. This is my system. That's how he's thinking, right? So he don't want God in your house, in your home. He wish he could just bust up in there and get God out of here, huh? But we got free will. We can make that choice. Amen. And the main thing Satan doesn't want God in is you. He doesn't want God in you because he can't do anything with you when God is in you. Huh? When you're walking with him. Amen. So in conclusion, separation of church and state is man's wisdom. It's from the pit of hell, that, and the devil really is a liar. Let me give you some higher revelation. Y'all want to take it a little deeper? Amen. Hey, that kingdom that Jesus is talking about is coming. I want y'all to think about that for a second. What kind of system is that going to be? Think about that one right there. Jesus said, my kingdom is coming. Huh? What kind of system is that going to be? What kind of, currently what we live in now, we live in a republic, right? Well, they say it's a democracy, but it's really a republic. What does that mean? The majority rules. That's the system we live in. That's why we get to vote. Well, let's vote for this person or that person, you know, because that's the system we live in, right? But it's just so unjust and unfair because we know the ones that got all the money. Okay, just look who's the president. Okay, what's around him? Everybody got all them ones, so they making all the decisions. Amen. Right, who got the most votes, as the elder say, but then who won the presidency? Amen. So it's a unjust setup. Amen. A republic, though, which is where we live, is similar to a representative democracy, except it has a written constitution of basic rights that protect the minority from being completely unrepresented or overridden by the majority. So that's why we're in a republic, because we have a constitution that has some basic rights for us. Or else the ones that had all the money, all the power, they just take the whole thing over. Huh? And they say, we voted. Y'all voted. It's the majority vote. Majority rules. Right? I wanted to show you all something about this republic we live in. You know, when we say that Pledge of Allegiance, y'all know when we do that, it says, what does it say? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the what?
Republic.
Republic. That's what we live in. For which it stands. You see what it's saying? So we're in a republic. For which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right.
Amen. Is that what we say? Huh? That's a trick. That's a deception. Trick of the devil. Devil's a lie. He's tricky. Yeah. Amen. But here's what I want to tell you all, though. The kingdom that is coming is not going to be a republic. You all hear me? That it's not going to be, when Jesus returned and get ready to run this, he ain't going to be talking about, okay, well, let's vote. Now, let's see, Jesus, you run against whoever. And that, it's not going to be like that. Amen. It's going to be a dictatorship. Amen. And Jesus is going to be the dictator. And he has how much power? All of it. Amen. He has the right. He has that right now. He got all power right now. Thank you. That's why we say thank you, Jesus. Because we can make that choice. Huh? The devil wants you to choose to live in the republic and do things his way. But that's not God. God is saying, hey, you know, respect the laws, respect that, but don't disrespect. But don't, if it disrespect me, let it go. You know, let it go. Amen.
Yeah.
God will show you how to do that, how to get around it and serve him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So Satan's world order, what does it do? Kill and destroy. That's what he does, right? That's his main objective. Satanic system that we're in right now, called a republic. Amen? So he says this is a separation of church and state. Let me prove that in the scriptures, because I'm just talking right now. But I want to prove that to you in the scriptures, okay?
Amen.
So turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews in chapter 6. Oh, I feel a lot better today. Y'all just don't know. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Lord, thank you. All right, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Look at this. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So it says we're going to leave the principles. So what's one of the principles of Christ? We save, right? We all know we save. That's a principle, right? Principles of doctrine. It's saying here we don't have to keep sinning, right? It says not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead. So, you know, it says let's leave that now, knowing that, okay, I'm a sin, now I got to repent. Now I sin again, now let's leave that. That's for the babies, that's for babes in Christ, exactly. So it's saying let's walk away now, let's grow up, let's go on into perfection. That's really what that's saying, right? So verse 2 says, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So we're saying now we're moving on from this. So it says resurrection of the dead. When we minister and change unbelievers to believers, you know what we're doing? Resurrecting the dead. Amen. And of the eternal judgment. What is that? The eternal judgment is the day that God make that final decision on where you will be and spend the rest of your life. That's why they call it the eternal judgment. It's forever. Amen. It says, and this we will do if God permit. That's verse 3. But look at verse 4. It says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. See, you know what that's really saying? It says, for it is impossible for them once enlightened. That's like, I'm going to use myself. Now, I didn't taste it. The goodness of God. Huh? He sent an angel to me. Huh? He done worked all these miracles out in my life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, if I was to one day come up in here and say, hey, yo, I'm done with all that. I'm done with that. You know, it was a pleasure serving y'all, but I got some things. I'm Jesus. I'm not going to do that no more. Huh? It says, if I was to do something like that, it says, for us, it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and done all this and the powers of the world to come. If I fall away, it's impossible to renew me. Where am I going to go? Where would I go? Huh? It's saying, oh, you can't do all that and then just fall off. Amen. Woo. Look at verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. See, when you are married to God, you cannot help but produce. Huh? He blesses you to be a blessing. It can't help it. Amen. Your relationship is tight with him. You are secure. Amen. Look at verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Huh? That's the ones who are really rejecting him. Now when you do that, you're bearing thorns and briars. Huh? Hard not life. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. He's not going to forget that. Amen. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Amen. We're just going to show that same diligence. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. How are we going to inherit the promises? Faith and patience. Huh? We know why we have to have faith and patience when we're dealing with God to inherit them promises. You all know why? He cannot lie. He has to do them. So sometimes we may get antsy, but believe me, if God said it, he gonna do it. Amen. Look at verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. God is something else, isn't he? Huh? God swear by his own self to make him, look, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Huh? I'm going to bless you and not curse you. Many blessings. And I swear that by, he was thinking, myself. Ain't nothing else, wasn't nothing greater. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 14. This is what God says, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiply I will multiply thee. Amen. That's God swearing this to Abraham. And so after he had what? Patiently endured, Abraham said, okay, look, Lord, I'm going to give you some time for this one. He obtained the promise. See, when you're in Christ, be patient and endure, saints. You will receive the promise. God cannot lie. Amen. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So it says, so men swear by things greater to give you a guarantee so you will feel secure. Well, I swear by my mama. I swear, you know, we do that, you know. Oh, my mama, look, I'm going to take care, huh? They be lying, Minister Lisa. Look at verse 17. It says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath. You know what immutability means? It can't change. Immutability means his counsel, God's word or his counsel, what? Cannot change. That's what it's saying. And it says, confirm it by an oath. What was that? He sweared that on his own self. So this is what God did. Check this out. He said, I'm going to swear to you on my own self, what I'm telling you is not going to change. Huh? I'm the same yesterday and forevermore. It's not changing. Amen. You may change. Amen. But God going to stay on his word. He going to do it just like he tell you he going to do it. Amen. So look at verse 18. It says, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who had fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We still have those same two immutable things. What's the two immutable things? We got God's word and what? And God himself backing it. That's two immutable things. Them things ain't changing. God's not going to change. It's not going to change. Amen. We still got them same two things. Amen. So I'm on verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So look, it says God and his word are not going to change. He will do what he says he's going to do, right? Verse 20 says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, right? So it says, Jesus is the forerunner. He's going before us. It's for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we got to figure this out. You know what we need to know right here, right now? What is the order of Melchizedek? Because whatever that is, Jesus was made like that. Huh? He's the forerunner for us. He was made a high priest forever after that same order of Melchizedek. So we got to figure out, what's the order of Melchizedek? And what's the question we're trying to answer? Is there a separation of church and state? Is it man's wisdom or God's wisdom? We determine, you know, in our own self, that's man's wisdom, right? That's not God's wisdom, because God doesn't want to separate. God wants to be in all. There you go. All in all in everything. Amen. So let's see, what's the order of Melchizedek? Turn to Genesis chapter 17. We got to figure that out, because that's our key right there. Genesis chapter 14, I'm sorry. Genesis 14. I'm going to speed this one up. Look at verse 17. It says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. Am I pronouncing that right, Minister? Chedorlaomer. So the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. You know who he went out to meet? Abram. Because the kings, see, these kings all joined together and came against Sodom and Gomorrah and some more places. So, but what happened was, Abram's brother's son, Lot, come on, Minister Lisa, be studying, you go, girl. Abram's brother, Lot, they took him, okay? And Abraham and all his stuff. So Abraham wasn't having that, so he went to get him, huh? So after he returned, it says, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. Listen to this, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Did y'all catch that? Did y'all catch that revelation? I'm going to read it again. It said, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Okay, I'm going to give you that revelation. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to give you that one there. Verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. So Melchizedek blessed Abram. Verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. So Melchizedek blessed Abram. Amen. But here's the revelation. It says in verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. All right, let's go back to Hebrews 6 and 20. It says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest, even after the order of Melchizedek. Go back to verse 18 in Genesis 14. It says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. What's the order of Melchizedek? He was a king and a priest. Government and state. Amen. Did y'all catch that? Uh-oh. She got it. Hold it, Minister Lisa. Don't say nothing. Hold it. So Melchizedek was a king and a priest. King represents government. And it says he was a high priest. Huh? He was the priest of the Most High God. He was the priest of the Most High God. So he was a king and a priest, church and state. But then it says Jesus is coming back in the same order. Only he gonna be the king of kings and the great high priest. There's no separation. See, that's in this system. But in the kingdom to come, it's going to be Jesus, head of the government, and over the church. Praise God. That's man's wisdom. Amen. That's man's wisdom. That's not God's wisdom. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. He is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and a great high priest. That's what Jesus is coming back to us. Amen. We won't be in this republic. We're not voting on anything. That's right. Amen. He done paid the whole price for everything. He calling all. Amen. Amen. He calling all the shots. Amen. But see, unfortunately, in this world right now, we don't have a man that can do that. Amen. Because they get all blown up. And before you know it, they get caught up. But that's always been God's plan. Y'all know that, right?
That's right.
I'ma show it to you one more time. Just in case y'all missed it. Y'all got it though. But I'ma show it to you one more time. Samuel was running Israel, right?
Right.
The prophet was running Israel. God was telling him, do this, do this, do this.
Right.
But the people, they wanted to vote.
Come on.
Huh? Samuel was running and God told Samuel, don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you. They rejecting, just like today, trying to get these brothers together. Come on, we got to get together. We got to get on one accord. They ain't rejecting me. They rejecting God. I know he's judging right now. I know it. In my heart, I know what he's doing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Whew. See, God's plan is for him to be involved in everything. And it's going to be righteous and just and fair all the time. Amen. All this voting and all this man's wisdom. You know, oh, let's let men marry men and women. Yeah, let's just do that. Yeah, well, God, oh, we take them out. We don't need them in the school. Look at what we got now. Oh, you better not discipline them. Don't tell them nothing. How do you set something up like that? Man, this is a mess, isn't it? Whew. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for revelation of your word, Father.